listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Get the latest Cleveland Browns coverage straight from the source. Download the official Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere. You can always get this show either streamed live to you over the app or after the fact. You can get any interview. For example, you could go on the app and go to the show from a week ago on the app and listen to exactly what Johnny Manziel said right here on this program. We're going to go back to the phone lines, 216-578-0850. It's Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Let's go to Mike in Akron now. Mike is gone. Let's go to Dave on a cell. What's up, Dave?
Hi, guys. I love your show.
Thanks, Dave.
And this is kind of directed toward Nathan. Nathan and Hammer and Hooley, they're all proponents of having a quarterback competition in training camp.
Yep.
And I think that is kind of a bad idea. Do you remember who won the last quarterback competition we had in training camp?
Brandon Whedon?
Yes. And there is no way he.
So that means all quarterback competitions are bad because Brandon Whedon once won one?
No, but I just don't think it's a good test of quarterbacks. I mean, there's no way he was a better quarterback than Brian Hoyer.
I was there in every practice.
That's where you're wrong.
And that's where you're wrong.
Dave, question. And I'll let Nathan go, but got to ask you. Did you go to training camp and did you watch every practice of Brandon Whedon and every practice of Brian Hoyer?
But I saw the games.
No. That's the games. I'm asking you at training camp when you're making a decision based on competition in camp. What did you see?
Okay, I was not at training camp.
Okay. We were, and I'm telling you, as much as we were about what we saw, the same thing you saw as games were played, Brian Hoyer did not on a daily basis show. In fact, I wondered if, in fact, he was even going to make the team at certain points. I said, this team's got a real problem with quarterback depth. Said the same thing about Jason Campbell as well.
Well,
they were not good
point.
In practice.
That's making my point, though. He was the worst in training camp, but he was the best in the game.
Well, he threw – listen, and I like Brian Hoyer, so this isn't a bash Brian Hoyer session, whatever. Let me ask you this. What would be the way that you would determine a starting quarterback in the NFL? Because if you did it based on only what Brian Hoyer had done in games prior to that in his NFL career, he made a start for Arizona at the end of a season when Arizona was desperate for a quarterback and they released him after that.
Yeah, and I'm with you. This is not to beat up on Hoyer at all, but what he did statistically in the course of the two full games he got to play for the Browns was pretty consistent with his career, you know,
right.
Very limited career numbers. I mean, it's not like the guy lit things up in the biggest way. They won two big games. He had really nice playmaking moments. He's
sure.
A great story. He's a local guy, easy to love,
to
easy
well.
To follow, easy to get behind.
Sure.
But let's keep in context what this is about. And, yeah, Brandon Whedon played his way right off the team. There's no two ways about that. But to submit the idea that a competition brings about the wrong thing. No, competition's the best thing that can happen for this team.
My question would be, how do you determine who your starting quarterback is then?
I think you have to look and see. Right, right,
in
right.
In lieu of
you
a competition,
have, right.
What
yes.
is the determining factor?
Rhetorically, that's a great question. Yeah, you've got to have something that gives you some basis to decide what you decide. And sometimes it's clear cut. Sometimes a Russell Wilson clearly outperforms Matt Flynn. And sometimes a guy who shouldn't be a starting quarterback in the NFL, maybe period, and Whedon beats out other people.
That's right. We'll see what happens. All right, let's go to Diana on the east side. Diana, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You got it?
Listen to the show, and I know not a lot of women call in, but we're out there.
I like it.
Start
you
a
do.
Trend.
Sure.
Thanks. I don't want to be disrespectful, but I want to talk about the Johnny situation, this latest interview.
Okay.
In listening to the local media and watching ESPN this morning as I'm working from home, I've never heard anyone say that Haslam was forcing this pick. But that's how you came out of the gates. And Nathan, you're really fired up about no one has forced, you know, Haslam has not forced this pick. But that's not what I heard the media say. What I heard them saying is that it's a public relations problem because for the last week since we've had this pick, all we've heard the Browns say is that Haslam wasn't involved. Haslam wasn't involved. And it gives us the feeling we can't trust this organization. We can't trust what they say because they're telling us one thing, and now we have a different story. So who do we believe? That's really where it comes down for, I think, the fan.
But is this
another regime? Is this another organization that we can't trust?
For your point to be valid, or for what they're saying to be valid about it being a PR nightmare, would have to mean that Haslam was involved.
And the Browns have spent a week telling us that he wasn't.
Right. So that's exactly what I was saying, which is the truth, which is that he was not involved. He was in the room, as he should be. He owns the team, and he's allowed to get excited about getting a player that he likes and happened to
Absolutely.
Be the top quarterback on the board.
Absolutely. But when the Browns released the photograph and we saw Jimmy sitting there,
right,
all of a sudden we're like, But he just said at the Hall of Fame lunch that he was at in Canton or whatever, like, that he wasn't involved, that this was, you know, a football decision. Now, none of us believe that as an owner he has no right, and I don't think anyone is thinking that he's not a Dallas Cowboys situation with Jerry. But it seems like the Browns have gone bending backwards to say he had nothing to do with it.
Well,
and
Diana,
and now you have pictures, and now you have.
So you're saying that because the owner is in a draft room?
Diana, let me jump in. Every owner's in the draft room. Diana, you got to let's get perspective here. What is it that you define also as involved? Because owners of their football teams do not sit out the draft. They're all part of it.
They're all in the draft room.
It's not a separation thing. It's never has been. What would be your definition of involvement? She's gone. All right. Well, to bring some reality to the situation. No, this is what's troubling. I think people want a division of church and state here with owners of football teams. It's not happening. It never has happened, and it doesn't make Jimmy Haslam any different than anyone else. I know that there's this onslaught effort to make a caricature of him in the same light as Jerry Jones,
sure.
In the same light of some hands-on, meddlesome owner. And also to think now that there's some disingenuousness. I think what I heard Ray Farmer say was that as an organization, it wasn't as if they sat there, thought about, wanted someone else at quarterback for this team, and this guy came in and said, no, this is the guy we're taking, and you guys have no say in the matter. And that's the part that is being shot down here, that is not true, that is patently false. He was involved in the group thought of going with Manziel. He's been involved in the whole process of evaluating draft talent. So his contribution to this has been consistent, and it didn't just come in like he barges in the door on draft day and says, let's do this. He's sitting there. He was sitting there last year on draft day as well. There's photos of him in the draft room of 2013 too.
And everybody who watched the NFL draft saw the war room cameras. The owner was in the draft room in every single war room camera you saw. That's just the way that it is. The issue is it's not about involvement. It's what he said and been consistent with all the time, that he had a voice, as he should as an owner. But ultimately, Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine were going to make a football decision in the best interest of this team. And that's what happened. A lot of the national media that I've listened to and people that I've even spoken with on Twitter today about this from the national media are taking from the Loggins report that Farmer said, or that Haslam said, pull the trigger, let's go get him, as though it were the directive that overruled the other thought in the room.
And that's not the case. And that it's caught the Browns in a lie is what they're – it's going
right.
a step further.
That's what Diana was saying, which is erroneous. It's not a lie. The people saying that are taking leaps of logic. Everyone in the room when that text message was brought in there was fired up to go get Johnny Manziel. And I bet you could have quotes from every important person in that room saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Does that mean that they ordered it over somebody else? No, it was a common thought, and that's why the move was made. If you go back to Jay Glazer, who correctly said that the Browns were not going to take Johnny Manziel at 4, Jay Glazer correctly said that Jimmy Haslam would have nothing to do with the pick, and then as soon as the trade was announced, Jay Glazer on Twitter, if you go back and look at your timeline, said this is the trade for Manziel, they're coming up to get Manziel. That's because it was known by him that he was the number one quarterback on this team's board. He just knew they weren't going to take him at number 4.
This is just a function.
And that's that.
This is a function of the mistrust that has been built by this organization.
For sure.
And some of it is on the Browns. A lot of it is on the Browns, because there has been reasons to not trust what the Browns have done in the past. And, again, unfortunately, the people who run the Browns of the present are paying for the sins of the past. That's just how it works.
It happens.
This happens in the league, but it's happened with this franchise over a long period. So there isn't trust until you have success. And, you know, callers and such will say, we're getting the wool pulled. Something shady is going on here. And I'm I'm sitting here telling you it's not
fun
shady
to, fun to dream
activities.
About, but it's just
not skullduggery, no shenanigans, whatever the words you want to use. It's just,
it
is.
They made the pick.
Bamboozled. Yeah.
That's right. Exactly. All right, we'll be back with more of your phone calls here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.